Please open with me in your Bibles to Psalm 44. Pay careful attention now to the reading of God's holy and perfect word. O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, the work that you did in their days, in the days of old. You with your own hand drove out the nations, then you planted them. You afflicted the peoples, then you spread them abroad. For by their own sword they did not possess the land, and their own arm did not save them. But your right hand and your arm and the light of your presence, for you favored them. You are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Though we will push back our adversaries, through your name we will trample down those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor will my sword save me. But you have saved us from our adversaries, and you have put to shame those who hate us. In God we have boasted all day long, and we will give thanks to your name forever. Yet you have rejected us and brought us to dishonor, and do not go out with our armies. You cause us to turn back from the adversary, and those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You give us as sheep to be eaten, and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people cheaply, and have not profited by their sale. You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and derision to those around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. All day long my dishonor is before me, and my humiliation has overwhelmed me. Because of the voices of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the presence of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, and we have not dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, and our steps have not deviated from your way. Yet you have crushed us in a place of jackals, and covered us with the shadow of death. If we had forgotten the name of our God, or extended our hands to a strange God, would not God find this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. But for your sake we are killed all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Arouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake and do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul has sunk down into the dust. Our body cleaves to the earth. Rise up, be our help, and redeem us for the sake of your loving kindness. Please pray with me. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you hear us even when we cry out to you. I thank you, Lord, that you understand our trials and our tribulations. Lord, we pray now that you would soften our hearts, that we would be in the right place to hear your word. Lord, that we would be in the right place to examine our own hearts and our own lives and to cling to your loving kindness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just recently, I was listening to a man, and he was talking about how his wife had grown up her entire life as the firstborn child of their family. So she thought. until she was middle-aged, and she found out her father had had illegitimate children before her, and he had hid this away, keeping it as a dark secret. Come to find out, she has many other siblings she didn't know about. We've heard of all of a sudden finding out in conversation that people have been married before and nobody in the family knew it. It's a dark secret in the past, in a place where they didn't want other people to see it. It's interesting that when we come to this text, when the psalmist is crying out because of their troubles, they tell God to search their hearts because they do not have these idols, like these dark secrets lurking in the dark places where they don't want people to see it. And that's where we find ourselves in verses 20 and 21. If we had forgotten the name of our God or extended our hands to a strange God, would God not find this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. It's interesting that idolatry, we often think of it at the time of the Israelites, the time of the psalmist. We think of Dagon, he was a statue. We think of Molech, he was a statue. We think of the Asherah pole, and it was a pole. We think of Baal, and he had his temples. We can go on and on about these pagan gods and their physical things, but it's interesting. Where does that idol reside? In the heart. That idol is hidden in the heart. The physical manifestation is there, but God searches the heart, and that's where he knows where our idols are. And tonight, your call is to get rid of any of the skeletons you might have in your closet, any of these dark, hidden away idols that you might still be clinging on to. So our first step is to realize that God judges by his measure. Realize that God judges by his measure. Think back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. None. This is an absolute prohibition. You shall have no other gods before me. Pastor Micah and I were talking about this yesterday, and the Hebrew is pretty graphic there. It's not gods in the first place, and then you can have, you just can have other gods, but they can't be first place. No, it's the graphic language of the Hebrew is, you shall have no other gods in front of my face. God won't have it. This is a strict prohibition. Isaiah 42:8 tells us, I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. So that's what happens when we have idols. It's not just that we're attributing some type of attribute or characteristic or something else that maybe this God can have. No, you are stealing the glory from the Lord and giving it to someone else. And the Lord will not share his glory. Won't have it. This is why all throughout the Old Testament, especially in Hosea and Ezekiel, how does God describe idolatry? Adultery. See, and when we are in covenant with our Lord, when we are in relation with Yahweh, he is like our spouse. Your spouse doesn't want you to share with someone else. You've made a covenant with your spouse, them only, forever, for the rest of your life. You will love that person and them alone. No matter what faults they have, your spouse, is that person whom you love more than any other person on the face of this earth. It's your spouse. Not your children, not your parents, not your friends, it's your spouse. But even your spouse can become this idol. And when we come into covenant with the Lord, he will not stand by and allow us to have affairs on him with something else that we're trusting in, something else that we rejoice in, something else we take security in. He won't have it. This is why in Deuteronomy you have the great Shema, the great Hear, O Israel. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, all of it. Down to the very depths of your being, down to the point where if it was between God and dying, you would choose death. We know that this is true. And we know that Christians for centuries have understood it this way because they died in the Colosseums being ripped apart by lions because they would not say Jesus or Caesar is Lord. Only God deserved that title. Only Christ was their Lord. Likewise, he must be yours. Isaiah 43, verses 10 through 13. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and there is no Savior beside me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed. And there was no strange God among you, so you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. I am God, even from eternity, I am he. And there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? See, this is who our God is. He pours out upon you his covenant love. And he will allow no one to take you from his hand. He is zealous for you. He is jealous for you. There is no God before him, nor will there ever be a God after him. And he deserves all of our worship. So know that God is searching your heart. Know that God is searching your heart. Verse 21. Would God not find this out, that we had stretched out our hands to a strange God? For he knows the secrets of our heart. Will God not find this out? Will God not discover this? Will God not search this out? This isn't something that is only here in this, but all throughout the Old Testament, God is searching out the hearts of his people. And praise God, he does this. Praise God, he does this because he knows our hearts are factories for idols. And he will continue to do this. But in Proverbs 15:11, Sheol and abandon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? How much more the hearts of men than even death? Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. For Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. We might look like we are put together. The Pharisees sure looked like they had it put together. They even had the wardrobe that was prescribed by the law. But God searched their hearts, and their self-righteousness was their God. 1 Kings 8:39, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and act and render to each according to all his ways, whose hearts you know, for you alone do know the hearts of all the sons of men. hope you're seeing it all throughout the Old Testament. This is how God operates. He searches and knows the hearts of all men. And in this verb here we have, would God not find this out? It's more intense than this. It's more intense than the English would lead you to believe. This is an imperfect tense. In Hebrew, this is an action that's not complete. This is something that God is still doing. Will God not continue to search it out? Not like God searched your heart once, okay, no idols, time to leave. No, he is searching your heart. Why? Again, because he knows you are going to continue to struggle with putting him first. And your entire life, praise God, your entire life, he's not going to just leave you to idolatry. But he's going to search your heart. Every area in our lives, God is searching and seeking, even to the most deep recesses of our soul. Those areas we don't want to show other people. Those areas we're embarrassed, even if our spouse saw, even if our children saw. He sees your sin and he won't let it go. Knows when you put yourself up as an idol, when you think that somehow you can control the world, when you think that somehow you have everything together and that you're the one who's able to make things happen, and yet your own anxiety shows your adultery, your idolatry, and he knows it. He knows it. He knows that place in your heart where you hide away just that little bit of covetousness. He knows that place in your heart where you hide away that little bit of lust that you don't want to let go. He knows our pride. He knows our ego. And he won't have it. And praise God for it, because when he searches your heart, Christian, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it, and you are going to move towards holiness. Do not be afraid when he searches your heart this way. Because though it hurts, though it's rough surgery that he's ripping these areas, these idols out of your life, it's for your good. It's for your holiness. It's for your sanctification. It's for your growth in godliness. So God won't put up with our idols, which too often in our American culture, it's not outward, but it's inward. It's you, 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 more, more, more. The mantras of the American Trinity: self-sufficiency, consumerism, and individualism. It's all about you. It's all about what you can buy. It's all about the good life that you could have. I hate to tell you, the American dream is idolatry. If that's your goal in not life and not holiness, not deep communion with God, it's an idol. And he'll search it out. It's not going to be easy when he does. It might make you poor to realize. Rarely do we meet bona fide confessing pagans. I've only met one of them my entire life. Life. I don't have lives. Life. The one guy I worked with, Jay, who the first time I met him, he found out I was a Christian and he said, oh, I'm a pagan. You're not going to find that in the world we walk in. But we walk around pagans. We walk around people who bow to themselves, who bow to their own pleasures. It's hedonism is what the theological term for it is. Just chasing after whatever's going to make them happy. Isn't that the American way? It's in our Constitution. Not for holiness, not for God's glory, but whatever's going to give you life, liberty, and happiness. Or if we go with the French version, property instead of happiness. That's how much our founding fathers, I hope you know that, Thomas Jefferson, the supposedly godly man who rips apart the Bible left and right. Did you know that when he says happiness, he's just ripping off the French and it's supposed to be property? Happiness and property, the American dream. It's right there. But what is our hearts? See, the Israelites might not be bowing down to Baal and Asherah, but they might have their hearts still set on the same way. See, it's interesting when we look at all of these ancient gods who are in the scriptures, they're nothing more than materialism. That's all they are. You would worship Baal, so he would bring rain down from heaven, and then you would worship Asherah, that then fruit would come up out of the ground. They wanted prosperity. People would take their firstborn child and sacrifice a living, breathing image of God baby to the fires of the abominable god of Molech, that they would have a good life, would have more. We just kill them before they're able to get out of the womb. More, more, more. Lord, help us. Lord, help us if we're no different than our neighbor who lives for consumerism, who lives for the next toy. If we don't show in our families, in our own hearts, that we live for the glory of God and not for some idol. Yes, the Lord's gaze is piercing to the very depths of our heart where he sees our idolatry, but praise God, it doesn't end there. Praise God, we're not just left in this place of gazing. But God doesn't leave you in your misery. God does not leave you in your misery. Ezekiel 36:26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Praise God for the gospel in Ezekiel. Praise God that our hearts aren't left cold and stony. Praise God, we're not those who are blind and dumb and stupid like we just sang about, who cry out and say silly things about God doesn't see and God doesn't hear and God doesn't smell when they're worshiping a piece of stone, when they're worshiping a $100 Benjamin. So he's taken your heart of stone and he's given you a heart of flesh. He's given you that heart, Christian, that does respond rightly to this morning's sermon. That when you think about who he is, you rejoice. So search your heart and ensure you're clinging to Christ. It's interesting, when I was going through this text with some of the women in the church, I asked them, do you think you could sing this psalm in a good conscience? Could you say, I have not spread out my hands to a foreign god. There's nothing to hide in my heart. Could you say that? And a few of them said, no. No, I couldn't. How could the people of Israel do it sincerely then? No, they can because, and you can, because you are in Christ. Because Christ will finish the good work he has begun in you. And if he is your only hope, when trial and tribulation come, you can cry out to God, God, I know all of this is happening to me. I don't know why, but I know that I have not spread out my hands to a foreign God. And let me tell you, I've seen this. I've seen this when I was talking to my Nigerian friend who lived just at the borders where Boko Haram was stealing children. And his only hope, they cry out this psalm. I hope you know that. There are Christians who cry out this psalm. We haven't spread out our hands to a foreign God. If we had, you would know it. And then when one of those girls who didn't come back, I was watching an interview with a pastor and his wife, and their daughter had been killed because she wouldn't put on the hijab. She wouldn't spread out her hands to Allah and his prophet Muhammad. And they say it's better for her that she is in heaven with her Savior, worshiping him for eternity in peace and with a heart full of joy, than having spread out her hands to a false god. This is true. You can sing this because you have Christ, because he has given you a heart of flesh, and because he is working in your heart. He is chipping away at that heart of stone. And he won't let you become cold to him. He won't allow it. You are alive in Christ, Christian. You are a new creation. And your heart, your soul, the very depths of your being, you know it at the core of who you are, your soul, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that he has washed you from your sin. And he has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. So cling to Christ. Cling to him and sing out with a clear conscience. Come to the psalm knowing that he is your joy. He is your salvation. He is the reason you are to live your life, and he is the one you look forward to enjoying for eternity. Again, Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 1. What's the chief purpose of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It's your heart's delight. And God will continue searching out your soul that you might enjoy him more and more and be in awe of him more and more, that when you finally reach that day, when you stand before his throne, you would cry out in praise with the angels. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive all honor and glory and power. That is our joy and our privilege, Christian, because he has done it. And he is working in you. Pray with me. God, thank you for the joy of our salvation. Thank you for the great works that you have done, and thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ, Lord. We pray that your Spirit would press upon us so much that when we get up in the morning, we would praise you. When we go to sleep at night, we would praise you. When we're in trouble and we're under pressure, Lord, we would praise you. We would cry out to you. And when the times are good and things are going well, we would sing out with thanksgiving to you. God, conform us in your image and make our entire lives, our entire being, about your glory and not for any idol. We pray this sincerely, honestly, truly, knowing you hear us. For we pray it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.